A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that now at last you revived your concern for me. You were, of course, concerned about me, but lacked an opportunity. Not that I say this because of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself. I know indeed how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I have the strength for everything through Him who empowers me. Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. You Philippians indeed know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, not a single church shared with me in an account of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was at Thessalonica, you sent me something for my needs, not only once, but more than once. It is not that I am eager for the gift, rather, I am eager for the profit that accrues to your account. I have received full payment, and I abound. I am very well supplied because of what I received from you through Epaphroditus, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The Word of the Lord. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. Many people today seem to be on an endless roller coaster, chasing after the latest scam or fad to find happiness. But in the end, the new acquisition or experience ends in the sawdust of disappointment. Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas taught us about this reality centuries ago, but it seems that every individual has to learn the lesson existentially for oneself. The material things of this world cannot bring enduring happiness, peace, and contentment. Nothing in this world satisfies us. That nothing includes the big items of power, fame, wealth, and pleasure, but also smaller, homier things we feel that are owed to us, like a perfect marriage with perfect children, a satisfying and well-recognized career, all the food we love, but without gaining an ounce. It usually takes time to grow to a point of contentment and acceptance of our lives. Often when we are young, we have great dreams of what we want to do in life. We spend much time and energy achieving those dreams. And even if we fulfill our dreams, there will still be a time when they are not enough. Time carries on relentlessly. I have learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself. We were made for God and the infinite. And the more we can hope for, or rather the most we can hope for, is deep contentment in accepting God's will for our lives as it comes to us each moment by moment by moment. We can learn the lesson to be content as Paul did, but first, like him, we must know Jesus' personal love. We must know that nothing is greater than His love for me and for you. We must be so grounded in the awareness of His love that whatever happens, we realize it is only temporary, finite, passing, and simply another opportunity to return our love for Him. If we are totally convinced of Jesus' personal love, nothing can unsettle us for long. That's the secret of the martyrs. They knew that their present sufferings would soon be over and yield to an eternity of joy with the Trinity. It is not the external events that are important, but our interior attitude or disposition toward them in the light of Christ's sacrificial love. Through the gift of contentment, we can transform burdens into blessings, catastrophes into chances for growth, tragedies into times of trust. All this and more can be ours by being content with the love God has for us. Can anything on earth compare with that when we actually stop to think about it? After experiencing Jesus' love and presence in our life, a further step is to live in the present moment and gratefully and peacefully accept whatever fills that moment. There is no room for murmuring or complaining. There is no need to worry about the past or fret over the future. Everything is in God's caring hands. And this is where contentment blooms and blossoms and gives off that pleasing aroma, the acceptable sacrifice to God. Another path might be to trust in the providence of God. Paul says later in this passage that God will fully supply whatever you need. If we really believe this, then we will not be disappointed with what we have. Our Heavenly Father is good, generous, wise, and loving. He knows that even darkness and trials can enhance our character and help us to grow in virtue and holiness. Whatever God determines or allows is for our best interests. Thus, we can be perfectly content and trust Him. A proverb says, "A contented mind is a continual feast." How true it is. When we are content, we can really enjoy life. As Dante wrote, "In His will is our peace." Discovering the will of God in each situation produces contentment. I have learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself. The word Paul uses for content in Greek means literally self-sufficient. It comes from Stoic philosophy, whereby a person was sufficient unto himself for all things. But that is not the Christian meaning. Paul is self-sufficient not through his own ability, but as he says in our passage, through the power of Christ dwelling within him. Paul reminds us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And also, God's power comes to perfection through human weakness. In commenting on verse 11, St. Thomas Aquinas said, "Nothing so well demonstrates the mind of a perfect, wise person as knowing how to make use of every situation in which one finds himself. For just as a good leader of an army is one who acts as circumstances require, and a good tanner is one who makes the best leather from each hide, so a person is perfect who knows how to make the best of his situation. If he is in a lofty state, he is not uplifted. If he is in a lower state, he is not dejected. If I have a little, it is enough. If I have much, I know how to be moderate. And yet, Paul was not really self-sufficient, but rather God-sufficient. In a few weeks, the season of Advent will envelop us. It is a time to think of Mary. It is a good time to make a new beginning. Perhaps we can begin to start early now and surrender our concerns and worries to God. Can we be open and receptive to each moment, as was Mary? Can we be content with our lot in life? Can we be God-sufficient, looking to Him when difficulties arise or we face insurmountable obstacles to growth? God is eager to supply all our needs if we simply ask Him for help. Can we give Him our temptations and discouragements and find our contentment and sufficiency in His will for right now?